everyone. This is the final constitutional law episode before I'm all caught up. Don't worry, there will be more constitutional law episodes, but this is just where I'm at, trying to catch up and keep up with my outlines. But today we're talking about 10th Amendment limitations. Before getting into it, I do want to say that this is still not 100% up my alley. There's going to be some things that I say wrong, but I do want to talk about some of the limitations that may have that may keep Congress from using all of their power. And the 10th Amendment is one of those major limitations, saying that any power and authority not given expressly to the federal government in the Constitution is reserved for the states. And so you can say that these cases that we're going to go over, one is interpreted more narrow, while others interpret the 10th Amendment more expansively. There are going to be some limitations on Congress based off of the 10th Amendment and some of the arguments that we're going to get into for that. So yeah, let's go ahead and hop into these cases. Our first case is Garcia versus San Antonio Metropolitan Transit Authority. This case is about a situation where federal minimum wage was required to be enforced on state workers as well. This issue was brought several times before this current opinion. In Wards, it was seen as a valid statute, but in National League of Cities, the statute was wrong. The act was unconstitutional because it infringed on state sovereignty. And notice that all of these are going to be state sovereignty cases, whether or not states have power where Congress does not. But Garcia goes back to accepting the statute as a valid constitutional authority of Congress, and underneath the Commerce Clause, of course. But note from this case that there's two parts to every case. First, the courts are going to ask, what is the test we need to apply? And second, who gets to decide who puts that test in effect? The issue with this case is that the majority says that there was no applicable test. Words from National League of Cities, like traditional, for example, the court didn't know what it meant. And so the test could not be applied. It was arbitrary in meaning. And as a result, the statute could stand. Instead, the majority wants people to follow the process. There is structure in the federal government, and the federal government a lot of the time relies on states, and so they do not want to infringe on state rights. The dissent disagrees, saying that federal government may not exercise and often does not exercise self-restraint. And also, local authorities know the best way to manage the budget, how to implement their budget, as well as to enforce laws that the federal government may not have the expertise or knowledge of doing because they're covering a whole nation while local governmental officials are exercising authority over a minimal location. So even though Garcia is still technically the law, it's practically been overturned just because New York versus United States, our next case, and Prince, the case after that, goes into overrule it in practicality. So the big takeaway from New York is that Congress is commandeering the work of a state legislature. This case was, there was radioactive waste. There were three provisions. The third provision is at issue here, which required states, if they didn't follow the either provisions, to take title of their waste. And if anything went wrong with their waste, they would then be subject to federal regulations. Well, states didn't want to take title. And so the majority here says that this third provision is commanding state legislatures to control the problem. If not, then to accept responsibility. There's an accountability argument here that is presented. And the reason for this is because, well, it would look like this. If the federal government required states to take care of the problem, if the problem was resolved, Congress would get the credit because it's a federal program, and the state would get none of the credit. But if the problem is not resolved, well, then who's the people going to blame? They're going to blame the state because it occurred in their state. The state was implementing the procedure. They were doing what they were doing. And so the states are going to get all the blame, and the federal government is going to get none of the blame. So it's this accountability problem where the federal government would not be accountable because they're commandeering the work of state legislatures. Our big takeaway then is that Congress is not allowed to require states to do the work of the federal government. In other words, they are not, the federal government is not allowed to delegate and then take credit or none of the credit, depending on the blame. And this goes on to be the same argument that took place in Prince, the same kind of commandeering accountability argument that was given. So that's our takeaways underneath the 10th Amendment. It can be a limitation on the federal government because of state sovereignty. And so those are really our three big, well, not these three cases, but our three big strands of federalism that we've talked about all up to this point is going to be the Commerce Clause of the state rights versus federal rights, the 11th Amendment of how sovereign a state can be with them being sued, and commandeering in these cases underneath the 10th Amendment. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice, and with that, the fourth thing is if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable, that is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.